Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're back on the air. Always so excited for that. So much to talk about. So many things have been going on. God is truly, truly even blessing us. And I just hope that you are blessed as well. Let us start off with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace that's new every morning, morning by morning. God, we love you so much, and we just look up to you and look forward to just being in your kingdom and just loving you with all of our hearts and dedicating our minds, our bodies, and our spirits unto you, Father. Lord, I know that there is nothing that you wouldn't do for your children, and that just gives me so much comfort in my spirit and in my soul, God, knowing that you will never leave me or forsake me, God, and I just thank you for that. I thank you for all of those that are listening, God, and those that will listen later, that they will be blessed by this broadcast, God. Lord, I'm praying that you will just continue to pour your spirit upon us, Lord, in these days, God, that we will know that you are coming and that we will want to seek you and have a hunger for you more than ever before. Lord, we pray for forgiveness, and we ask that you just help us to walk further in our walk with you, to get closer with you, God, and teach us how to forgive others that too have trespassed against us. And teach us how to forgive ourselves, God. Sometimes that's very hard. You forgive us, but we have to forgive ourselves. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you're on the air with Reverend Doctor, also known as Pastor Trawick, and I'm so excited. It was so, these last couple of weeks, like I said, I've been very, we've been so busy. You know, the time was here for us to renew our lease for our church, and, you know, we needed to come up with a sum of money, so we were, you know, pressing in and just trying to be the hands and feet of God and allowing his work to be done through us, and he made a way, and I thank you, Jesus, for that, for us to renew our lease. Also, we were working on sending those shoes over to Haiti, and we were able to send over 1,900 pairs of shoes over to Haiti to help families there. So excited. And Christmas, we were able to help over 80 families with Christmas toys for their kids, and that was awesome. And God is just doing a mighty work through this ministry, and I don't take it for granted. I'm so excited to have the opportunity to be a part of something great. This is truly a movement. This is truly a movement of God's people saying that no matter what comes against us, we're going to continue to press in, press forward, and love God. Excuse me. Ooh, and trust God. So thank you, Jesus, for that. We are also in the midst of moving on a personal level to a new house. So I'm talking to you, and I'm surrounded by boxes. And so I thank God for that our prayers have been answered. We really needed to stretch out and have more space to continue to build the vision personally. And I just thank you so much, God, for making a way for us to be able to do that. So we thank God for that. Just so many things and revelations, you know. Lately, it seems like people have, you know, been asking and condemning Christians and pastors. And the Bible tells us that we are persecuted for Christ's sake, you know, that the life of a Christian is long-suffering. And so when we're persecuted for Christ, it's a good thing. And so I've had several conversations with people over the last couple of months about, you know, what it is to be a pastor and what it is to be a Christian. And first I'm going to deal with the subject of pastors. I just want to say this, that I think sometimes we are so hard on ourselves, and then we're even harder on other people. And, you know, I believe that, as a pastor, you know, we are called to shepherd and to give the word of God and to be a representation of God. And I do believe that we're set apart But it's hurtful because I think that sometimes people judge you just based on that title. And God said that, you know, we're not to judge each other. You know, and the reason for that is because he sees all things. We only see a part of it. And when a pastor does something that is not, as other people perceive, not of God or not the right thing to do, then people are always like, well, that's not what a pastor should do. And that's, you know, and it goes back and forth. And, you know, then people say, well, that's why I don't go to church, or that's why I don't trust pastors. You know, but God never asked you to put your trust in a man. He said, put your trust in me. Put your trust in me. And so when we put our trust in God, man can't fail us because we don't expect anything from man. And we have to remember that we are spirit beings, but we're walking through this life and we're having a spiritual, we're having a human experience. And so you're going to go through, you know, some of the frailties and different things. It's just like when you watch your favorite television show. You know, you're into a television show, whether it's, you know, that's coming on, and or even a movie. If you identify with the characters, you know, you're going to start to feel what they're feeling. You know, that's why people cry at movies. That's why people yell at movie screens, you know, because they identify with what's going on. Or even men in sports, you know, why do men get so emotional when they're watching sports? Because you're identifying with the game. You know, you physically, you have mentally connected with this thing, and so you're having reaction to it. And that's the same thing with this life. You know, we're spirit beings of God, created by God in his own image, but we're here on earth having a human experience, so we're going to experience human things, anger, discontent, happiness, love, you know, both the good and the bad. You know, temptation. So as we are, you know, even Jesus experienced temptation at the hand of the devil. You know, he didn't succumb to it. He was strong, but, you know, it did come before him. You know, he was able to see it. He knew what it was, you know, but it didn't skip him because he was Jesus. He still had to experience that temptation. And I think that, you know, with ministers and pastors, I think sometimes we forget that they're human. And God reminds us, I mean, we see so many different things happening on TV. This one is in a scandal, or, you know, different things happening, and we want to judge and say, well, that's supposed to be a man of God, or she's supposed to be a woman of God. But we have to remember that we are all God's children, and he loves us equally, and we're all going to have situations where we're doing good, and we're going to have situations where we're not doing so good, you know. But that's why God said, let me be the judge. Because I can see the heart. What looks like a heartless, cold person, you know, because of X, Y, and Z, you know, I know them. I created them. You know, just like if someone's sick, what looks like a terminal disease, what looks like something that can't be healed, God is like, I'm the great physician. By my stripes, because Jesus died on the cross, because he was beaten for our transgressions, those stripes on his back caused for our healing, though he was beaten and bruised and broken for us. So because he endured that, we can be healed. And I just, you know, I guess the message really is we have to be careful how we judge other people. And when we put people up on a pedestal, we're putting them up on a pedestal. And that's not something that God wants us to do. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So we shouldn't put anybody up on a pedestal before God. You know, if pastors, leaders, pray for them. It's not an easy thing. It's always, you know, and this even goes beyond pastors. It's even as leaders. You know, it's so easy to point your finger and say, oh, this one should have made that decision, and he should have did this, and he should have did that, or she should have did this, or she should have did that. But, you know, really what a leader needs is prayer. Is to be constantly covered in prayer. They need to be seeking the water from God, the well, the oil, but they also need to be lifted up in prayer so that they can make good decisions, so that they don't get caught up into temptation, but they're able to put one foot in front of the other, trusting God that he will go before them and make crooked paths straight. We hold people up to standards that we don't even hold ourselves up to. When we make a mistake, we forgive ourselves for the most part and we keep it moving. Someone else trespasses against us and we hold on to it for dear life. Well, I remember when so-and-so did this to me and so I'm not going to deal with that person. But you fail yourself every day. You fail other people every day. You fail God every day. And you forgive and you keep on going. But yet when someone else does something, it's like, oh, I'm not even going to talk to that person. I'm not going over there. I'm not going to go to church, that kind of thing. And we have to get out of that. You know, this is serious what we're doing here. This is a walk with God. This walk, this test that we're on right now, you know, it is a test that is every day ongoing. You know, think about when you were in school and you prepared yourself to take an exam. You know, there was every school pretty much has a declared study week. You know, and I'm thinking about higher education where there is a time where the classes end and they give you, you know, you have a couple of days or maybe even a week where you're studying for finals. The reason they do that is because they want you to have that time to prepare to do your best, to do your best. And so even with your walk with God, you know, this is your study time is your downtime. Study the word of God. Know exactly what he wants you to do because the test is every day you get up. Am I going to be the same as I was yesterday or am I going to be new in Christ Jesus? Am I going to show the face of Jesus or am I going to carry the wounds of yesterday? Am I going to continue to be beaten and, you know, be broken? Or am I going to let go of those hurts and say, Christ died so that I can have life and have it more abundantly? He was beaten. I don't have to continue to be beaten. I can have a renewed mind and a renewed spirit as long as I focus on God. Not focus on man and what everybody else is doing. That's why the Bible tells us, before you try to take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the log out of your own eye. Before you look to me and my flaws and my things that I'm doing that are not right, look at what about what you're doing? Because everybody's going to be judged individually. You better believe it. There's nobody that's going to escape judgment. We're all going to be judged based on our actions, based on our hearts. God has it all worked out. So he doesn't need you to point the finger at anybody right now to try to judge, be judge, jury, and executioner all in one. He needs us to trust God, to trust him, and to be loving to one another, and to be forgiving, and not to carry around the wounds and the sins, but to react differently to the situation. I read a quote once that says, sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. He calms his child so that we can endure the storm. We can endure the storms of life. We don't have to feel like we can't make it through. But we've got to trust and we've got to stay focused and stay in our lane. Not be in everybody else's way. Why this one doing that and why that? Stay in your own lane. What are you doing? Is it pleasing unto God? Because if it's not on Judgment Day, you don't get to bring other people in to say, okay, I didn't do, you know, I wasn't doing right because I was, you know, trying to help this person in their life because they weren't doing right. We're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for our brothers and sisters, but to be their keepers, not to be their condemners. And that's what we have to remember for pastors, for leaders. You know, God, to say that I'm not going to go to church anymore because my pastor sinned. You know, the fact that he or she is still there standing in the pulpit, you know, even though they're flawed, should show you that we trust a merciful God, a God that says, even though you're flawed, I'm still going to love you. Even though you're an adulterer and a whoremonger, David, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to go before you and give you victories in your battles. I'm still going to bless your seeds. I'm still going to bless your family. I'm still going to give you the desires of your heart. That even though you killed someone, Moses, even though you felt justified, but even though you killed someone, Moses, even though, you know, there were times when you didn't do what I wanted you to do, Moses, I still loved you. I still loved you. I still took care of you. And so we have all these people in the Bible that said, even though you were unsure, Esther, about whether or not you could stand before the king and reveal the fact that you were a Jew, reveal your true identity, to stand up for your people, even though you were unsure and you questioned me, I still loved you. Even though Jesus, a part of me, this is God speaking, even though Jesus, who was a part of God, the Son of God, said, Father, if it be thy will, can this cup be removed from me? Even though you question whether or not the cup can be removed for you, I still love you. Still rose you on the third day so that you could come back and be a part of me with in heaven. And that generations to come will have your example and worship you in spirit and in truth because you are me. Even though you question. So we have all of these examples of God's merciful love, and we have to be merciful with one another. We have to be careful that pride and envy and strife don't bubble up in us, that we're able to be on an even flooring with one another and know that we're all sinners. When you see your brother's sin, pray for them. Press in. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to get on the phone with Jamie, Lucy, Louie, Tom, you know, or anybody. I'm going to pray for them because it can't be easy. And I believe that's the reason that we fall publicly sometimes, is so people can pray for us, not for them to judge us, but for them to pray. This is an opportunity. Will you take the high road? Everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees the fact that there is some the transgression that has taken place that's out in the open. What will you do? Will you choose to pray and be there for that person, even if you don't know them? Or will you choose to point fingers and tear them down just because they hold a title or a position? God said, I'm no respecter of persons. There won't be a line where it'll be passed. There'll be presidents. There'll be mayors. There'll be executive directors. There'll be bishops. There won't be a separate line. We'll all be in the same line. And right now, you have the ability to help someone through prayer. God said in his words that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Those that are living right, your prayers availeth. I hear them much. I want to share a scripture with you on this morning that deals with prayer and how God hears prayer and answers prayer. It comes from the book of 2 Kings. It's the story of Hezekiah. 2 Kings. Right now. I actually shared this this morning. We have below zero temperature here in our city of Rochester, New York. So we did not have service this morning. So as I was making some phone calls, one of my parishioners is blessed in Jesus Christ, and she's actually been having some issues with her legs. And so we lift her up, and I was praying with her on this morning, and I came across this scripture, and I want to share it with you as well. And when I read it, it can also be seen. We can look at it from two perspectives. We can look at it from the perspective of prayer, and we can look at it from the perspective of healing. Oftentimes when we read the Word of God, there's more than one meaning. And it also depends on timing, because God is a God of timing. He'll never give you too much. He'll never give you more than you can handle. He'll never give it to you too soon. He'll make sure that all the preparations and everything is in place for you to receive whatever he has for you. We never have to worry because he promises to provide. He is our provider. So we're starting with 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. And so it says, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die, and you shall not recover. So here we have the holy man of the day coming to give a message on Hezekiah. And the message was, get it together. because you're going to die. From this, you're not going to recover. So Hezekiah was upset. It says, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he began to pray to the Lord. See, because even when things don't look, we get bad news, things look bleak, always can turn to God. He didn't ask the man of God, what do you mean by this? What is this? He didn't plead to him. He knew exactly who to take it to. It says, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart. You know, he's pleading with God. God, I've been faithful. I've given you my whole heart. Not half my heart, my whole heart. And have done what is good in your sight. I have done the things that were good in your sight. I have given you my whole heart. I've been faithful. I've done good things in your sight. And he began to cry. It says he wept bitterly. He cried hard. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Lord came to him. So God heard him instantly. Instantly. Before Isaiah could even leave the court. But God had spoke to him and had already heard Hezekiah's cry and spoke to God. And he said, turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. He said, I want you to go back to Hezekiah. And the first thing I want you to tell him is that I've heard his prayer. See, God hears our prayer. He hears our prayer. That's why we have to pray for to change. When they say prayer changes things, it's the truth. God hears our prayer. He wasn't even out of the king's court yet before God said, turn around. And I want you to know, I want you to tell my servant that I hear his prayer. I have seen his tears. Not only have I heard his prayers, but let him know, I see your tears. See, prayer is an action. It's a thought, you know, because there's some people that pray silently. You know, sometimes when I lay out and I'm stretched out before the Lord, I may not say a word. It might just all be in my mind where I'm just praying unto God. Maybe what you hear out of my mouth might be crying, weeping, murmuring, but it's not actual words. So that's one action. That's the faith, sending the words up, sending the thoughts up. Then with the physical, is the tears, the weeping. Think about somebody that's weeping. It says that he wept. Not that he cried, but he wept bitterly, you know, like just so hard. He was just crying. You know, when I think about something like that, I think about when you lose something, you know, it's like this, it comes, you know, say maybe the loss of a loved one, where this feeling comes over you and tears are just falling and you're just, you know, you're weeping. It's like deeper than just a tear running down your face. It's a deep cry, you know, from the soul, like a soul cry, a weep. And it says he wept bitterly. And so in weeping, you know, all kinds of things start coming. You know, you got tears falling down. You got, you know, stuff coming out your nose. You know, maybe even coming out your mouth. Who knows? I mean, you know, some people call it the ugly cry, you know, because it's just you can't control yourself and you're just weeping. Your whole body is involved in this convulsion. Of crying, this washing of the spirit. And God says that not only do I hear your tears, but not only do I hear your prayers, but your tears mean something to me. So when you go and you tell my servant, I want you to tell him a couple things. Tell him that I heard his prayers. Tell him that I see his tears, that I see the action. You know, it says faith without works is nothing. So I can pray and keep it moving. But if I pray and I weep, then that's the faith plus the action. That's the faith plus the I'm giving this over to you. Whether you look at the tears as a washing of the spirit, and so the words, the faith is the words going up, and the tears are the actual washing of the spirit. You know, but it's the faith and the action. So I want him to know that
I hear the words, but I also see the action. I see the tears. I see him weeping bitterly. Then he goes on to say that, behold, I will heal you. Tell him that I hear his prayers, I've seen his tears, and I am going to heal him. So not only does God hear you, but he has a plan. He has something that he's going to do based on that. You know, I'm going to share this testimony. So the house that we have now that we just got, praise God, there came a time, and I didn't tell a lot of people about this. I haven't even made the full announcement to my church that God has blessed us with our own home. But there came a time when, so we were negotiating on the price. And so they didn't take our negotiation, our second offer. And so, and we, you know, loved it. Everything was great. And I thought I was going to be okay. And so after we got the message that they weren't going to accept the offer, and I knew we couldn't come in exactly at their price. So something just came over me. And I just started to cry, weep bitterly, that kind of thing. And it just, I couldn't stop it. I kept praying and praying because I know that God will provide. And I just said to God, I said, almost the same thing. I just need something for my family, God. We're doing all we can in this ministry to keep it going, and now we need something. You know, we need to build our vision. And I just cried to him, and I just said, we need something, God. We're walking with you. We're faithful. We're doing all the things that you would have us to do, God. And so it was like as I was reading this, I didn't plan to talk about this today, but as I'm reading this, the Holy Spirit is ministering to me right now, saying that God heard my prayer. And when they called us back 2 days, it took 2 days, they called us back and said, we'll meet you where you need to be. So it was a blessing. You know, it was a blessing. And I knew that God had heard our prayer. I knew that God had heard our prayer and that he had answered our prayer. And I just thank him for that. So when I read this scripture, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. It was, you know, even in that moment when I was crying, I couldn't control myself. I didn't want the kids to know. I didn't want my husband to know. But my heart just exploded. And I just began to weep and weep. And even my husband, over those 2 days when we didn't hear from them, he was like, we'll find another house. He was online, you know, looking, you know, trying to help because he too, you know, I think he felt the sadness, you know, and wanted to help. And God just took care of it. And not only, so getting back to scripture, it says, behold, I will heal you. I will answer you. I will heal you. I will answer you. And he answered Hezekiah's prayer. And then he said, on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years. So not only did God answer his prayer for healing, he also added years to his life. And when I think about the blessings, how they all came, you know, we got our house. We got the money we needed for the church to be able to renew our lease and continue the ministry work. people are coming out of the woodwork wanting to partner with us so that we can expand the ministry. Doors are opening up. So when I look at how God not only answers the immediate prayer, but then he gives us so much extra on top of it. You know, the house was empty. So once everything went through, we're not, you know, we're not scheduled to move in until, you know, we have an official date. But because the house is empty, they're like, you can start moving in. You know, we've got all our stuff out. And they went in and cleaned for us. So it's just so much like how God is just blessing the situation and blessing everything. So it's, he will add. Then he goes on to say, I will deliver you in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. And then he told Isaiah to bring him the food, the cake of figs, so that he may recover. And so that's where we are. That's where we are with God. When you come sincerely, prayer is one thing. But when you start crying and weeping out to God, he see, that's why God says, don't, that comes from the heart. You can always, you can walk by, oh, I'm going to pray for him, I'm going to pray for her. But pray sincerely that God touched your heart, that God's ministering your circumstance. Because when he answers, he doesn't just answer with one thing. He answers with multiple things. He healed Hezekiah. He added life, years to his life. And he told him, not only am I going to do those things, but I'm going to deliver you and this city. So then other people start to be blessed by the blessing because of one man turning to God and calling God on his word, saying, you promise. You promise. I have walked with you. I have been faithful to you. I have given you my whole heart. And I promise you that that's the prayer that I prayed to God. And then he moved on this house. And I promise you that's the prayer from the church. God, we're giving you all that we can. We can't raise this money on our own. And he took care of it. And it's continuing to bless. We are being delivered. We are delivered out of debt. We are not in debt. Bills are being paid. People are being blessed. When we have our lights on, when we have our gas on, people can come in, they can get warm, they can get fed, they can still get food out of our pantry. Our pantry is being taken to another level. Tomorrow, we're going to receive donations to help us stock our pantry so that we can be more than just a couple times a month. We'll be able to be a full-service pantry every week. That's God. So my time is up. I just want to share that with you. When you get a chance, go back to 2 Kings. I read from chapter 20, and I read verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word today, God. Let it follow us through our whole week. Let us remember that if we pray sincerely to you with a sincere heart, God, that you will hear our prayer, you will see our tears, and you will heal us, whatever the situation is, God. I don't know what everybody's dealing with, God, but I lift them up to you today, God. Sincerely, I lay their claims on the altar with them, God, and I stand in agreement, Lord. You say where two or more come together, I am in the midst of them. So right now, I come together with our listening audience, my family, my church, And I thank you, God. I thank you for just listening and hearing us, God. I thank you that prayers will be answered. I thank you that a new thing will be done. God, where there are dry places, I ask you to water them. Lord, I pray that you will give me a renewed mind and a renewed spirit to lead, God, and that you will renew all of those that are dry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. This has been Young and Gifted Global Ministries, also known as YGG Ministries, as our young people are calling us now. It's been a blessing. So happy to be on the air with you again. This is Reverend Doctor saying God bless you, and may he go before you, send his angels out to guide and protect you and to order your steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.